Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, our next guest, Dr. Ella Stack, has a PhD from University of Dublin. And she's got a PhD from the University of Michigan in physiology and pulmonary microvascular physiology. And you're doing some research in calcium. Dr. Ella Stack, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's really nice to speak to you today. I am actually doing some research into calcium and a very specific type of calcium that we get from the ocean, actually, from an algae form. So
Before we get into that, Lucy, I want to ask you, you know, there's been quite a few studies in the last few years showing that calcium, there could be a relationship between calcium and heart disease. What's your take on that? And what should people know who's, you know, because the doctors are still prescribing 1,200 milligrams of calcium pretty much to every woman that walks through the doors.
Yeah, I think you hit on two of the main points, actually, right there in your question, Dave, is you said that there could be a link. And the studies that have come up with the possible link, they've all been meta-analyses, we call them. So they're sort of retrospective studies that look back at the findings of other studies that weren't actually performed by those investigators and take inferences from their data. And they're looking at studies that weren't designed to answer that question, you know, is there a link between calcium supplementation and heart disease? And on balance, the weight of the evidence would suggest that there isn't a link. And you know, the second part of your question is the fact that doctors are still prescribing calcium, and they're doing that because their respective health organizations, you know, wherever they are in the world, be it Europe or North America, etc., haven't changed their recommendations that calcium and daily intake of calcium, particularly from natural sources, is still a really good thing for our health and well-being.
Well, you know, you say from natural sources, but as I understand it, most calcium comes from rock sources, does it not?
You're absolutely right. It does. Certainly when calcium is added to a food, and most of the calcium supplements that are available on the market, they're actually derived from limestone. So they're mined out of the ground, like rock or chalk, you know. And indeed, there are sort of some more synthetic forms on the market that are coming online now. So calcium citrate sometimes, calcium phosphate, things like that. They're actually really just a converted form of the limestone calcium, which is a calcium carbonate, and they're made in either a lab or a factory. So they're not really natural sources for, you know, for mammals to intake and to absorb into their body. As you can imagine, we weren't designed to eat rocks.
Mm-hmm. What I think, as I understand it, calcium calcium, any of those other calciums, are they bound with amino acids to make them more absorbable, theoretically? Is that correct?
They can be, certainly. But they would be, for example, in milk, for example, they'd be, you know, naturally bound with proteins and stuff like that. So that is one way to address availability of calcium. But what we find is that actually we find really good availability with plant sources of calcium. And we, you know, we can talk some more about that as we go on.
What, you know, let's talk about the, you know, the calcium from limestone, for example, just to start mm-hmm. with. I'm just wondering, what kind of absorbability can the body get from eating rocks?
Very little is the short version of that. Bioavailability is a very difficult thing to put an absolute number on, you know, and a lot of people ask us what is the availability as such, but the reality is you need to eat it in excess to get your daily requirement, and you mentioned the 1,200 milligrams of calcium per day. That's quite a lot of calcium, and it certainly is a very in a lot of cases, unachievable amount for people to get from food sources, and that's why they turn to supplements, which is a very appropriate thing to do. But calcium carbonate from rock is a tough way to get it. And what we've actually done in our studies, and we've got a number of them, is we've shown superiority in terms of availability from in terms of the plant source versus the rock sources of calcium carbonate.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that. But,
sure.
You know, as a researcher, what are you finding in terms of what happens to, like, these rock calciums, these limestone calciums in the body? Like, what, you know, is it, are they building up anywhere? Or, you know, how's the body getting rid of them?
I wouldn't say that. They aren't absorbed to a great degree. So the build-ups or deposits in arteries and stuff like that's not something that we've found in our studies or that we can document in our studies. They're probably just really excreted through the digestive tract is the most likely way that they're leaving, you know. Hmm.
So why are food sources of calcium considered safer in the high doses than high doses of like mineral rock calcium, regular mm-hmm. calcium, so we see?
I suppose, Dave, it's in very general terms, you know, we've evolved to get our nutrients and our essential nutrients from food. And the body as a whole really has a much greater ability to use minerals that are available from foodstuffs than from whole foods, such as plants, which are themselves naturally rich in minerals and vitamins over other sort of non-natural and synthetic forms. So it's not just the case of calcium, but in other minerals and vitamins too. The availability of those when they are derived from food is much higher than when you take them in a capsule, perhaps, or, you know, in one full dose. So deriving our vitamins and minerals from whole foods and from plants is a much more natural way for our body to use them.
What are some of the ways that are, you know, what are some of the foods that we can find calcium in?
Sure, there's a lot of them. I think people automatically think of dairy produce, so milk, your cheeses, your yogurts, etc. But there's lots of other foods with calcium in them, so lots of the fish that are available, salmon, etc., some fruits, certainly, and even vegetables, especially dark green leafy vegetables such as kale, collard greens, spinach, some beans and stuff like that. So all of those foods actually do have good amounts of calcium. That being said, and like I sort of mentioned earlier, these sources, even when people are conscious of trying to take in enough calcium, over the course of a day and with busy lifestyles and stuff, it's very difficult to actually achieve the recommended daily allowance of calcium through dietary means alone. And that's really where supplementation comes in, and you need to sort of we need to give some thought to that, and particularly in sourcing out supplements that offer a natural form or something as close to food as we can as the source of calcium and minerals, so that the body can then utilize them appropriately and efficiently, you know.
Dr. Stack, I want to ask you about what does calcium do in the body? Like, you know, what are the, you know, we hear that doctors are recommending 1,200 milligrams of calcium, so that, yeah, you know, people take them on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but what should you know, they know that calcium does in the body?
It's hard to think really of a process in the body that calcium isn't involved in, to be honest. So it's in every cell. It's involved in muscle contraction. It's involved in your heart beating regularly. It's involved in the health of muscle. It's involved in nervous transmission. And of course, and what people will always think of is its role in dental health and in bone health as well. So bone strength, bone structure, etc. So it really is a sort of a global mineral, and it's absolutely essential.
What happens in the body when we don't get enough calcium? You know, are there signs that we're deficient?
Yeah, there certainly are. I mean, really, a acute calcium deprivation is very unlikely, because we all get some calcium, and your calcium levels would have to be very low for it to be, you know, life-threatening, for example. But over time, if you're chronically low in calcium, or you chronically don't intake enough calcium, that really can be reflected in your bone health in particular. And it's a very pertinent point for women in particular, in the face of declining hormone levels as they approach and pass menopause. You know, their calcium really, really does become key, because their bone mineral density is declining, irrespective almost of their calcium intake. It will decline anyway. So they really need to be aware of the importance of calcium intake throughout their lifespan, not just in the postmenopausal phase.
Are there any times, you know, when our bodies need more calcium, or any types of people that need more calcium?
Good question. So certainly people that are growing. So kids have a really high, for their size, they have a much higher calcium requirement than an adult. But I already mentioned that with women, it's not actually just postmenopause, but bone mineral density changes actually can be recorded as early as the 30s for women. So calcium requirements really are quite high for women throughout life, but certainly growing kids and then older women would be the two groups of people that really need to be aware of their calcium intake and make sure that it's adequate.
Are there any types of medications or drugs, Dr. Stack, that you know of that really cause a deficiency in calcium in people?
That's a really good question, actually, Dave. Off the top of my head, what were you thinking of, actually?
No, I'm just wondering if you've seen any research that shows that certain types of drugs are causing deficiencies, or you know, are related to deficiencies in people.
Not that I'm aware of as a group. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry about that. I could get back to you on that. But nothing huge that I'm aware of.
Okay. In terms of bone health, in terms of mm-hmm. bone density, mm-hmm. when we're talking about calcium, sometimes we see people with calcium buildups, you know, in their joints, maybe even arthritic joints or. Mm-hmm. What's the issue with calcium in those cases?
You know, those calcium deposits are not actually they're not there as a result of excess calcium or excess dietary calcium. When you get calcium buildup in joints or in an arthritic joint, that's really a body's attempt to stabilize that joint, okay, or sort of a response to inflammation, but it's not a result of excess dietary calcium or excess intake of calcium. It's really a sort of a secondary effect of an inflammatory process. And the body will lay down calcium in response to inflammation and oftentimes fibrosis. And it's sort of a complex process, but again, not due to dietary excess. It's a sort of a complex inflammatory process.
We're talking to Dr. Ella Stack. She's an expert in the area of calcium. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about what kind of calciums you can use to really improve your life.